Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivada Dhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivada Dhari Sam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajaka Acharya Ashtotra Satya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Te Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschachade Satarane. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to also welcome all of you and thank you all for being here this evening. Actually, it's quite a gratifying experience for those of us who live here at New Raman Reti to every Sunday be able to have so many of you come and visit with us during our Sunday program. Actually, we like to think of you as our friends. Hope that's not too forward, but we like to think of you like that. And especially after such a wonderful day we had yesterday with the festival, it was just so joyful. I think that's the one word that sums it up in my mind, at least, the joyful experience. And meeting old friends like Tiksha Karunaka, we knew each other in L.A. so many years ago. So we'd like to think of you as our friends and hope you'll accept that. And But more than just that, I friends do things for their friends. And so I want to try to do something for all of you here this evening. Because that's what friends do. What's the use of calling somebody your friend if you don't do something for them? Like my friend Jen Mastami, standing back there, is also visiting here from Mayapur. So what I'd like to do for you all is to tell you how you can get the best thing out of life, the very best thing you can get. And it comes in the form of a story, but the lesson is there in this story about how each and every one of us can get the very best thing out of our life. And so I couldn't think of something more appropriate to give you all after all of you gave us so much. For you all is to tell you how you can get the best thing out of life, the very best thing you can get. And it comes in the form of a story, but the lesson is there in this story about how each and every one of us can get the very best thing out of our life. And so I couldn't think of something more appropriate to give you all after all of you gave us so much just by coming. To tell you how you can get the best thing out of life, the very best thing you can get. And it comes in the form of a story, but the lesson is there in this story about how each and every one of us can get the very best thing out of our life. And so I couldn't think of something more appropriate to give you all after all of you gave us so much just by coming. Iha yusaha. Mahurtat sarva ut srija gatavan abhayam harim. The translation, the saintly king Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. And that's important. The best thing you can do in this life is to prepare for your next life. So we shouldn't forget that that's coming. That's an eventuality. Just like tomorrow the sun's going to rise, Bhagavad Gita explains that we go through various lives, one after another. So it's coming, best prepare for it. So one should be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned herein as a saintly king, because even within the responsibilities of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case of other Rajarshis, saintly kings, like Maharaj Yudhisthira and Maharaj Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert in discharging their prime duty. Now here's the story part of Maharaj Katvanga. That's who he was a little bit, but now here's the story. Maharaj Katvanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons, and as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. Now, we talked about friends and how friends like to give their friends things. If you're a friend of the demigods, I mean, what they can give you, they can give you everything. Wine, women's song in a beautiful garden, you know, more than you could even imagine. That's what they wanted to give Maharaj Khatvanga. But hear what his response was to that offer. He said, well, it doesn't say what he says, it says what he did. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment, but Maharaj Khatvanga, being very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about the remaining duration of life. If we don't have a duration of life, how are we going to enjoy? So if someone's offering you some enjoyment, first thing you have to think, well, wait a minute, you know, how much longer do I have to live? Am I going to actually be able to enjoy this? Or is it going to be a useless benediction? So he inquired about the remaining duration of his life. This means that he was not anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the demigods. He was not as anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the demigods as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would last only one moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which was always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth, took ultimate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by a saintly king, was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Goswami, even though he had only 7 days left in his life, to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami, and thus the great treasure of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So being alert to our prime duty in life, being alert and aware that there will be a next life, these things are guides which help us achieve the very best thing in life. And that's why I wanted to focus on this story today. Because quite often, we really don't understand the value that we've got, that we have, the great fortune that we have in having this human form of life. I have a little example that I want to share with you about how rarity equals value. Because first, we have to realize how rare this human birth is, and then we get some idea of how valuable it is. So rarity equals value. So here's an example for you that I got from Forbes magazine. Does anybody know what Forbes magazine is? Forbes magazine is what all the rich people read through all the day. You know, how different ways they can count their money. That's what Forbes magazine says. You can count it this way, you can count it that way. So Forbes magazine, they did an article there, and they were talking about kind of conceptualize how rare gold is. We know gold is a rare metal, right? And so how rare is gold equals how much value it is, why it's so valuable. Well, they somehow or another came up with this idea that the amount of gold that there is in the world, how to conceptualize that? Well, they thought about an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So how many Olympic-sized swimming pools do you think it would take to hold all the gold that's present in the world today? How many Olympic-sized swimming pools do you think that would take?
1,000.
1,000, that's...
One.
One, he says. Okay, that's a big difference, 1,001. 10.
100.
Okay, does everyone think more on the 1,000 side or the 1 side? What does everyone think? Well, clearly, I don't think you've been trying to conceptualize how much gold there is in the world that often, because I hear a lot of different comments here. Okay, 3.27 Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's all.
That's a lie. That's a thousand.
Forbes magazine says that, but I have another reference for you, just in case you don't accept Forbes. There's only 3.27 Olympic-sized swimming pools. I mean, that fits right back here. Right back here in our, between us and the pavilion there, I mean, you could probably get 3 Olympic-sized swimming pools there, or at least on the property in a general proximity to the temple building here. That's not that much. It's kind of rare, isn't it? Gold is rare. Here's another example from Wealth Today. If we took all the physical gold that exists above the ground in the world, melted it down into one giant cube, that cube would measure 20 yards by 20 yards by 20 yards. That's all. 20 yards by 20 yards by 20 yards. That would be all the mined, and they did this by going through records of what's been mined for so many years. Anyway, they have their ways of doing this. But just imagine then how rare gold is, and that's why it's so valuable. Now, compare that to human life. Human life is also very, very rare. The Vedic literatures describe that there are 8,400,000 different types or species of life. Human beings are a very tiny fraction of that. Say, I think it's just there's 400,000 different human species. But actually, when you break it down, those that actually act like human beings and not like animals, there's just 1 in 8,400,000. It's very, very rare to have the human form of life. And the human form of life is very, very valuable, not just because it's rare, because what you can achieve with it. What can you achieve with the human form of life? Who can say? What you can do? Love of God, prema bhakti, yes. Anybody else want to achieve anything else in the human form of life? Not here, not in this audience, maybe another audience. Huh? Self-realization, same thing for us, pure love of God. So that's also very rare, achieving pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is a very, very rare achievement. And it's done in a very, very rare form of life. And so, therefore, we can say that it's very, very valuable. It's very, very valuable. Although it's very valuable, it's available to all of us. We are now in possession of that most valuable thing. We have a human form of life. We're here in the Hare Krishna temple, sitting before the deities, just had a wonderful kirtan, hearing the holy name. This is a very, very rare experience. It's very rare. Now you may think, oh, it's not so rare. I come here every Sunday, or I come here every day. But believe me, it is a very, very rare experience. Right in this room, there are millions of other living entities that are not different than us, but they don't have the human form of life. They don't have the ability to chant Hare Krishna. They don't have the ability to interact with the devotees like we do, because we have this life, this human life. And so it's very, very important then that we not waste this. Why waste such an opportunity? You can have eternal life that's full of knowledge and bliss. That's a conception that's hard for us to grasp, because everything so easily slips from us. And when we're happy, we're sad the next moment. When we have something, we lose it the next moment. That's characteristic of life in material consciousness. But in spiritual consciousness, once you gain that the goal, once you gain and start utilizing this most precious thing, you never slide back. You never lose it. It's always there. It's always present for you. Such a valuable thing. But we find ways, all of us, to waste time. So let's spend a little time right now discussing what's our favorite way to waste time. Does anybody want to volunteer their favorite way to waste time? Yeah. Facebook. Okay, that's a good way to waste time. Although Mother Mukhi said she saw about the Holi Festival on Facebook, and I guess still there's a lot of wasting time on Facebook, yeah.
Telephone, television,
yeah, all the tellas, they're a big waste of time. You know, my mother used to say to me that, because I used to like to sleep a lot, and she always said, you can't make up sleep. If you missed sleep, you missed it. You can't make it up. So why are you trying to sleep to make up that you missed sleep the other day? You can't make up sleep. Sleeping is the way we waste a lot of time also. Any other ways? What's everyone's favorite way to waste time? You already gave your favorite way. Anybody have a favorite way to waste time? Yes.
Idle talk,
yes. Oh. The conception in the 50s was that two women, housewives, they weren't working in those days so much, so they would like go out to the backyard and there was a fence between them, and they would talk over the fence, you know. So much time is wasted in that way. Anything else? Anybody?
Video games,
yes.
Sports, whimsical activities.
Sporting and things, etc., yes. All these are ways in which we utilize our strength, our intelligence, our physical abilities for something other than the goal of this rare human form of life. We waste our time doing that. And so Maharaj Kadvanga, he was always aware not to do this. He was always, because he was always thinking, as I read, what's going to happen in my next life? Where am I going to be situated? And we all do this, whether we think about a next life or not. We all think, well, I'm young, I should go to school to prepare myself for life. Or I should practice because I want to be a good musician. We think like that, and we should think like that, how we're going to prepare. But what's the topmost utilization of that type of inclination to think? Is to think, well, how am I actually going to prepare myself for the next life? How am I going to actually prepare myself so that I won't have a next life? That I can go back home, back to Godhead. These are the things that we should be utilizing this human form of life for. Now, this story about Maharaj Kadvanga gives us some good lessons in this way. Maharaj Kadvanga, he thought that I'll prepare myself for the next life, and that even though I only have a moment left in my life, I'll still do that. Even if I only have a moment left. Generally speaking, when you want to achieve anything, it takes a long time and a long endeavor, strenuous endeavor, to achieve the fruit and be successful. It takes a long time. But spiritual life is so nice that even if you only have a moment, you can still achieve full perfection. And Maharaj Kadvanga is proof of that. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, where this story occurs, Sukadeva Goswami, he's the guru, he's teaching his disciple Maharaj Parikshit about utilizing this human form of life. And he says this amazing statement that it can be achieved even in a moment. Maharaj Parikshit came to him with a problem. Look, I only have 7 days to live. You know, what am I going to do to achieve the perfection of life? Sukadeva Goswami said, don't worry. It only takes a moment to achieve perfection. And this story of Maharaj Kadvanga is an example of that. He gave this story as an example that even if you only have a moment, you can achieve perfection. So what did Maharaj Kadvanga do? He immediately gave up all his material engagements and went to the temple, and he began full-time, 100% engagement with all his energies, his mind, his body, his words, in surrendering to Lord Sri Krishna. And as a result of that, just doing that for a moment, he achieved all success in life. He achieved what's described in a purport as liberation, meaning that he went back to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, and he lived there happily ever after. It does exist. And as a result of that, just doing that for a moment, he achieved all success in life. He achieved what's described in a purport as liberation, meaning that he went back to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, and he lived there happily ever after. It does exist. Happily, fully safe. It's a guarantee. If you surrender to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he will guarantee you that you'll get all protection. That's why these words are used there. Gatavan Avayam Harim. He's the all-safe personality of Godhead. That there's no doubt. It's a guarantee. You take shelter of him, and he'll give you all protection in life. So that brings me to what I want to give all of you here this evening. The story of how rare this human form of life is, how valuable it is, how we can achieve that perfection only in a moment. That's told in the story of Maharaj Gadvanga. But here's what I want to give to you. We're sitting here in front of Radha Shyam Sundar. We can all say in unison, or you can say separately in your own prayer, a few words of surrender that guarantee you, even though we just do it once right here, right now, that you'll achieve perfection in your spiritual life. If we, with all the sincerity and faith and knowledge we have, we turn to Radha Shyam Sundar and we say to them, my dear Lords Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, from this day I am yours. Please accept me. Those words said with faith, humility, surrender, and devotion will evoke the mercy of the Lord. And he'll offer us that protection. We will have utilized our human form of life in the best possible way that we ever could. So we can say it over and over again. We can say it not only today, but for the rest of our life. But even if we say it once, this was Lord Ramachandra's guarantee. In his pastimes, there was an instant where one that was born in a demonic family, who was associating with and aiding those who were against the Lord's purpose, Bibhishan, the brother of Ravana, he had a change of heart and he thought, I want to say those words to Lord Ram. So despite all the protestation from his brothers, his family, his culture, everything, he left that and he came in front of Lord Ram. And he said those words, my dear Lord Ram, from this day I am yours, please accept me. And Lord Ramachandra, he made it clear, not only for Vibhishan, but for everybody all time, that if someone comes to that and says that to me just once, I guarantee that I'll give them my protection. So, this is what I want to give to you all. The consciousness that we should have that loving expression towards Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Sri Sri Gaura Nitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, the holy name of Krishna, Krishna's devotees such as Srila Prabhupada. If we have this humble attitude and just beg them to please accept us, they'll do that and we'll have achieved the perfection of life. It's that easy. It's that easy. If we have the faith, So I beg you all to please have that faith. And let's say it together again, my dear Lord Shri Radha Shyam Sundar. From this day I am yours. Please accept me. So that's the example we learned from Maharaj Katvanga. Are there any questions anyone has about these things before we deal with the rain and prashadam? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Anavi. I just happen to have the mics.
Okay.
I was just thinking earlier in your class about the Forbes magazine. I was thinking that they probably have no idea of where I came from. The Essequibo, the El Dorado city is called, that Christopher Columbus discovered. Mm. They're bringing out gold in slabs like these columns out here. Mm. So they definitely have more than that. On the other hand, you were talking about Maharaj Katvanga having one moment. So whilst you were speaking, I was doing some calculation that a moment of the demigod's time equates to 3 minutes and 6 seconds of our time. So I'm not sure if it's the demigod's one moment or... I don't know what a moment means, but I was thinking that maybe I can equate a moment to probably about a second, something like that.
Well, so, the Sanskrit word is muhurta. And so we know what a muhurta is. The day is broken down in different muhurtas. I think a muhurta is 45 minutes, 48 minutes. And so there's a description one of our acharyas he's given. He said that he had one muhurta, so he had 48 minutes. You know, it took him like 24 of those minutes to get to Earth. You know, it's like half the time was gone, you know. So he used the other 24 minutes to surrender. And so...
Thank you. Thank you.
That's one of our acharyas is described like that. But the point is that don't waste time. Whatever you've got, use it. How long does it take to... My dear Lord Ramesh, my dear Lord Shishishira, please... 10 seconds or something like that to say that prayer. So, thank you. Yes. If we wait for that mic, see, we're going to lose the time. 1 minute, one moment's gone. You don't need a mic.
Thank you for your wonderful class. There's one sentence of a purport, a couple sentences where Prabhupada refers to the Katvanga, and he makes this statement, and I was wanting to hear your purport of this statement. One can attain Krishna consciousness or the divine life at once within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Katvanga Maharaj attained this state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering unto Krishna.
Hmm. Yeah, well, if we miss it, if we miss the opportunity... Actually, I had an experience right here in Gainesville years ago. This was during the 70s. We were traveling brahmacharis when we came here, and there was a class in the evening. Satrup Maharaj was giving the class, and I was sitting there, and, you know, I started dozing. And while I was dozing, he finished the class, and I woke up just as he was finishing the class, and the thought occurred to me, I missed it. We don't want to be like that at the time of death, you know, so unabsorbed in Krishna that death comes upon us, and we realize right at the last minute, I'm going to miss the opportunity, here it is, and I missed it. We don't want to be like that. So therefore, we have to be fully conscious, because we never know. It may be, we'd said there's 8,400,000 species of life. It may be 8,399,099 lives before we get back, you know, to get the human form of life. And so why lose all that time? Why lose all that time? Take it now when it's available to us. And it only takes a moment. Anything else anyone has? Yes, John Osmond.
I don't know if I would say it's a doubt, and it's not a challenge, but it's maybe a different way of looking at it. You made it sound quite easy to surrender to Krishna, but sometimes It's not, my personal experience, sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes Krishna really tests us to see how much we want to surrender.
It's not easy when you think about it. Skip the mind, then it's easy.
Okay, I'll take that advice.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi, Bob Prabhu. Thank you for the class. You're a very nice sadhu. I'm happy to hear from you. I was wondering if this, thinking about this idea, just you surrender Krishna 1 second and it's done. But does that mean that we can make up our determination in 1 second, or we can free ourselves of all our previous impressions of material existence for millions of years in 1 second? Because there's a verse in 11th canto. It says, Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvina Sarvakarmasu Veda Dugatmakan Kaman Parityagi Api Anishvara Tato Bhajita Mam Prita Shraddhayor Tritanishaya Dukar Darkam Shitan Gaman Dukadarkam Shagarhayan. It says that one may have awakened faith in the narrations of my glories and see that material sense gratification, material life, the whole material world is not really a place for ultimate happiness, that there's something more than this. But still, because they don't have sufficient strength, they're not able to give up their sense gratificatory propensities. So nonetheless, they should worship me with love, faith, and conviction, and they should lament for their inability to follow properly.
Or you can name your son Narayan. And at a time of death, Narayan, save me! The Yamadutas won't be able to take you. The Vishnudutas will come and they'll take you. And if you have to go someplace to get a little purified before you can go back to Godhead, fine. Name your son Narayan. Speaking of our Narayan, Prabhu is here. He wants to... I think it's on...
Okay. I mean, I'm a second. I'm going to shock I check some of the meanings why I should give you the maha. You know, Prabhuji, the fact that he's mentioning that sometimes he finds it more difficult, Damodar's answers, I mean, these are both complete. But actually, there is, Prabhupada uses that term very often, sunum bonum. And the fact is that whatever that last moment is before there's full surrender really comes at the end of whatever number or some unfathomable amount of sukriti that's been. In the Narada Pancharatna, this is explained. So really, when you tell a story like Maharaj Katranga, it just means that at that moment, or remembering... his son Narayan at the time, at that moment of being in total loss for any other option. So it really, this is an important concept that we're practicing sadhana bhakti and then bhava bhakti and then prem bhakti, and we're going through all these steps. I mean, so we should, but we're really building sukriti so that that moment will come. So the real faith and the real understanding of the objective, so that we shouldn't miss the point that we have to work very hard to become Krishna.
Yeah, well, that we read in the purport. Prabhupada said that he was aware of this, therefore he was conscious of his prime duty throughout his life. But I'm going to stick on my point here, that despite what you say, and despite that being correct according to Shastra, if we sincerely go before Sri Sri Radha Samasundar, whether it be the time of death or prior to the time of death, and with full faith and sincerity, we say to them, my dear Lordship Sri Sri Radha Samasundar, from this day I am yours, please accept me. Then they will accept you. So why don't we accept Krishna Prasadam? There's already a line forming out there, and we have to negotiate the rain. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.